Acts chapter 8, beginning with the first verse, 1 through 6, then we're going to skip to the 26th verse. And Saul was consenting unto his death, and at that time there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea, Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house, and haling men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Go to verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near, and join thyself to this chariot. Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture he read was this. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, like a lamb dumb before his shearers, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? Do you see the relational thing that's taking place here? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, See, here is water. What does hinder me to be baptized? I mean, Philip had already preached to him salvation through faith, but Philip had already preached to him from the scriptures the importance of water baptism. Philip said, If thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. So Philip had already talked to him. Jesus is the Son of God. He commanded the chariot to stand still. They went down both in the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord called away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Father, for the next few moments, give your servant wisdom that I may minister your word to these people as you please. Let me just give you a little bit this morning. I'm aware of the time. You see, the very first instructions that Jesus gave to his new followers in Mark chapter 1 was, Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men. His last instruction on this earth to his disciples was this, Acts 1 and 8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. So we find that Jesus thus began and ended his ministry with the command to be witnesses and fishers of men. His thrust of his teaching is summed up in the Great Commission, where Jesus commands his followers to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The first and most obvious principle then is that the church is a body that we are marching under orders by Jesus Christ to go and share the gospel to the whole world. Did you hear that?
Amen.
Our marching orders is not just to show up on Sunday morning and bring our tithes and offering and fill a position. But do you know there are so many in the church world in America that sees church as that is it?
Come on.
And we're wondering why the number of Christians in America is declining rather than inclining. We wonder why the American culture is in the shape that it is in. It is because we are not driven by evangelism. The power of intentional evangelism are relationships. You can never, or you will never, win someone to Jesus until you build a relationship with them. How many of you have got relationships with people who do not know Jesus? Hold your hands up. We didn't have many went up. I just want to say, now how many of you, and you don't have to answer me, but I'm challenging you with a question. How many of you are intentionally sharing Jesus Christ with those people? Are you endeavoring with great purpose to bring them from bondage, from darkness, from deception, to light, liberty, and truth? Now, everyone is not going to hear and receive. Then not everybody's going to listen to you. Your heart may be broken, but you cannot continue to spin your wheels on the one or ones who will not listen. You have sowed the seed. You've shown them love. You've told them about the grace of God. But when they continue to say, no, I don't want to hear it, they ignore, they push away. What you got to do, bub, is dust your feet off, leave them alone, mark down, I've done all I can do. They are now in the hands of God. Let me move on to others. Can I get an amen? And sis, that one may be your own sister, your old mother or dad. It can be your own spouse. But if they continue to refuse, to reject, don't get discouraged. Put them in the hands of God and move on down the road, because there's harvest out there that needs to be brought to Jesus Christ. You know what will happen? Because if you're continuing to pray for them, at some point, when you quit talking Jesus to them, you know what they're going to do at some point? They're going to come up and ask you, what's wrong? What do you mean, what's wrong? You used to tell me about church all the time. You used to invite me to church. You used to talk to me about Jesus all the time, but you don't do it no more. What's wrong? Well, what do I do then, preacher? Square your shoulders and mark it down. There is holy conviction that is all over them. They're moving to a place of wondering, maybe even in an atmosphere of fear. Has God left me alone? Has God marked me off? Has God forgotten all about me? Can I tell you, there are some folks we need to just let them go, let the devil have his way with them until they wake up and realize that they need a Savior. And if we've sown good seed, you can get them. Can I get an amen in the house? Sis, I hate to ask you to come on back, but if you don't, I may get to preaching. While she's coming, and we're going to pray, this first point, evangelism, soul winning. Say with me, evangelism. Basically, soul winning flows out of relationship. Say that with me. It flows out of relationship. You have to have relationships with the world. Not be a part of it, but you got to go out there and be light and salt to the broken, to the bruised, to the cursed, to the damned, to those that are in trouble, and let them see a message of life and hope and peace and power in your life. and that you care. Do you care? This relationship, first of all, is the vertical. You must have a healthy relationship with God. You'll never be successful as a soul winner if your personal relationship with God is not healthy. And if Sunday morning Christianity is all a believer's got, they are not going to be a soul winner.
Amen.
Can I get an amen? So there must be a right relationship with God. And then there has to be the horizontal. Right relationships with man. That's why it is important that you guard your witness. If the world that you're trying to win to Jesus Christ sees you in life and you behave and carry attitudes that stink like the pit. Is that plain enough English? How do you expect to lead them? Because if I'm of the world and I see someone that professes to be a Christian, a churchgoer, and they're supposed to be this holy person over here, but I see a stinking attitude, I see a judgmental, condemning attitude, I see someone who's not honest and trustworthy. Can I get an amen? I see someone who's always sour, bitter, hard, unforgiving. I'm talking about Christians that I've met. And then you want to tell me there's something better at church than what I've already got? I'm going to say no thank you. Because what I see in you, I don't want. It ain't better than what I got. And I may be headed to a devil's hell, and you might be on your way. But if I'm not seeing a transformed life that tells me there is something better, don't want it. Evangelism flows out of relationship. It begins here. Because when that vertical is right, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. By whom, does the Bible say? By the Holy Ghost. God's love is shed abroad in our hearts. And that same love, Brother Tim, will flow out of us to our fellow man. We will love them. We will care for them. We will weep over them. Even those that we come to a point, Ben, that we've just got to move on. And it's not that we quit weeping for them, but we move on from the aspect, putting them over in the hands of the enemy and hope that their soul will be saved. Is that not what God done time and time again with Israel? In his wooing and his gentle calling and moving with Israel to repent, and they would not repent, God says, all right, I'm going to lift up my hand. My love hasn't changed for you, but I'm going to lift up my hand, and I'm going to let you be overcome, ravished, tortured, murdered, mistreated, raped, abused by your worst enemy. That's what he done every time, by their worst enemy. But in each case, God was always sitting there. And when they begin to cry, oh Lord God, have you forsaken your people? Will you hear our cry? And will you remember your covenant with Father Abraham? And will you come and deliver us and save us? What did God do time and again? He said, that's all I was waiting on you to turn your heart back to me. And God came in victory and brought them deliverance. Can I tell you, sometimes we need to just move on and keep witnessing to others, praying for others, and loving as we have that vertical relationship with God, to have the horizontal here.